Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
You were there because some of you were with other congregations, but we had a very encouraging word on Sunday morning all about our hope being in the Lord and about our walk with the Lord and how he leads us to the fulfillment of all his hopes for us rather than our hopes for him. What he knows he will work out in our lives. And I've been thinking more and more about this walk. And actually there are over 30 ways, 30 qualities that the scriptures speak of about this walk. There's not time to go through all 30. This morning, but I'm just going to talk about one of them for a few minutes. In 1 Corinthians 14, after that great sort of hymn of love in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says this, "So walk in the way of love, but at the same time eagerly desire that you will manifest spiritual gifts." Walk in the way of love. This is just one of the ways in which that walk is described. Now, what is Paul talking about? Well, this walk is with the Lord, isn't it? That we've been made one with him, so we walk with him in unity with him. So if we are walking with the one who is love, we will be walking in love. So it's not a question of, well, I must walk in love and therefore love others. That's not the starting point. Remember what we discovered last week, that our starting point is that we are holy, we are complete, all those great, wonderful truths that God was speaking into our hearts. So we start from the position, I am loved. That God chose me, he chose you for this walk with him. He didn't have to choose you for that. He didn't have to choose you for anything. But he didn't choose you just to become his child and to have a heavenly inheritance. He chose you because he wants to walk with you through your life in love. So when Paul says, well, walk in the way of love, who is the way? Jesus is the way. And remember that the first way in which Christians were described in the New Testament was followers of the way. It was seen that the Christian life was a walk. It was a process of actually living in relationship with the one who is love. So if I walk today in the way of love, I'm walking in the assurance that he loves me. Now, we can know that in the head, but I need to live in the assurance of it in my heart that today he loves me. At this moment he loves me. At this moment he is wanting me to walk with him in love, not just because we're in a meeting, but whatever you do today, whether you're working here or whether you're going out in mission, he wants you walking with him in love. So he wants you to know, be aware of, don't lose sight of his love for you. See, the important thing when we're witnessing and communicating the gospel is that we communicate the truth, we speak the truth in love. And that's not a matter of trying to be loving, But when you look at the person that you're communicating with, you sense the love of God being expressed through you to that person. That even if the person doesn't hear what you're saying or doesn't respond to what you're saying, they cannot escape the fact that they've had an encounter with love. And it's not because you say, you know, I love you or God loves you or anything like that, but it comes from an attitude, doesn't it? And where there's love, there's acceptance. Amen? Even though people may be sinners and not in the place yet of being accepted by God, we accept them as sinners. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
That God does not judge them, even though they're under judgment and condemnation because they don't yet believe, but he's withholding his hand of judgment because this is the season of mercy. This is the season where his love can be made known so that people will respond to that love. So when we encounter people in that way, they know that something out of the ordinary has happened. Even though they may not want to hear what you say, even though they may not agree with you, they will walk away thinking there was something different about that person. And, you know, that's how seeds of love are sown. And that God can water that seed, and it can begin a whole process in a person's life where they begin to think, is there a quality of love that I don't know anything about? We don't need to be unrealistic, but even if that happens with a handful of people, it's a handful saved from hell because they've encountered the love of God. So we're walking in that love. Now we know that Jesus says that the new command is that we love one another as he has loved us. That you can't sort of suddenly switch this love on. And Jesus is aware of that. He says, if you're living at one with me in my love, if you're walking with me in love, then you'll be walking in love with all the others that are walking with me in love. Are you there? So, you know, if there's this bond of love between you and Jesus, then there will be this bond of love with one another. So we are walking in love together. Now, what does that actually mean in practice? Well, when you love someone, you seek their highest good. There are different kinds of love, as we know, different Greek words for love. But the agape love of God is a love that is given because you seek the highest good of the one that you're loving. So why do we go out and witness? Why do we want to spread the good news of the gospel? Because we're seeking the highest good of others. It may be something that for some of us is a bit of a scary thing, something we don't perhaps enjoy doing. We're having to push ourselves to the limits, the boundaries of our comfort zone and beyond. But why are we doing it? Because we're seeking the highest good of other people. But you see, if we do that when we're going out and witnessing, then God says, okay, together, in your fellowship with one another, you're seeking the highest good of the others around you. Now that's an attitude of heart, you see. That if I love you, then I seek your highest good. And if that is going to require some sacrifice on my part in order that you might receive what is good, then that is the cost of love. And love often does have a cost, because this kind of love is not an emotional bond, is it? It's not based upon feeling. It's based upon the desire to seek the highest good of others. And we can do that in all kinds of ways, as we know. This is not the time to go into a lot of detail. But we love, we serve, we bless, we encourage. You can only seek the highest good if your attitudes are always positive. You see, as soon as your attitudes are negative, you're no longer seeking the highest good of the other person. Perhaps you're critical or judgmental or unforgiving or whatever. And none of that, of course, reflects the love of God. And we are walking in love with Him. So our prayer every day, not just when we go out on mission, but our prayer every day is, Lord, I want you to express your love through me today. Somehow, Lord, I want you to use me so that others around me, it's not a question of them knowing that I love them, but let them realize how much you love them because of the way in which you work through me. We're not trying to impress other people with our love. We're trying to impress them with His love. So we want, you know, we want somehow for the Lord to do that. And you see, I think the scriptures put their finger on this, all these 30 ways in which we walk with the Lord. It's amazing that there are over 30 of them. Whenever we walk in any of those ways, they're all reflections of the life of Jesus, and somehow the life of Jesus is communicated to others. Because that quality of His life is being manifested or revealed in us. So we know we're in Christ and Christ is in us. So it's not too much of a stretch to step from that point to the point of realization, okay, today I walk with Jesus in love. Today, God's going to express His love through me. Today, others are going to be on the receiving end of that love. Today, somehow, perhaps through what I say, or perhaps through an attitude, perhaps because you give me a spiritual gift for that person that I'm talking to, and they realize there must be a God who cares for them, because you couldn't know about the situation without that spiritual gift. So, you see, Paul says, walk in the way of love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. So, you have the love, you have the capacity to love whoever God puts before you to love. But you've also got all the spiritual gifts to be used in love. A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, perhaps a healing or a miracle of some other kind, perhaps a word of prophecy. All those gifts are available to you because you're going out not in your natural strength, but in the Spirit. And so you can use whatever spiritual gifts are appropriate to the situation in which you're placed. It's amazing how when you use the spiritual gifts, you get beyond argument. You know, you can have a discussion with someone that goes nowhere. Actually, it's more or less a waste of time because they just want to have an argument or a debate or a discussion about why does a God of love allow earthquakes or something like that. And the only way to bypass all that stuff is, Lord, just give me something personal for this person. And God would do that. He won't disclose any sort of personal details that would be embarrassing for the person. But he can give you, if you are open to receive it, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. Let me just tell you that words of knowledge are not words about healing. We often say that, don't we? God gives a word of knowledge about somebody being healed. But actually, those are really words of faith. They're words of encouragement for people to put their faith. There can be words of knowledge about what God is doing, but don't limit words of knowledge to that. What you want to understand is a word of knowledge is God giving you the knowledge by His Spirit that you could not know otherwise. So when you're witnessing to people, words of knowledge are very important. Don't think it's just a word of knowledge about healing. God can give you a word of knowledge about anything. Can you understand that? Word of knowledge is something much, much bigger than just having a word about somebody getting healed. Of course, if God gives you such a word as that, praise Him. But be open for God to just give you the knowledge you need so that you know how to approach that person, how to open up things for that person. And it may be the word of knowledge, you see, isn't the answer to the need, but God just tells you about the need. And if you know the person has that need and you begin to home in on that need, then the person knows immediately that what you're saying is relevant to them. That we're no longer in the realm of religious discussion and argument. Now we're in the business of a God of love who knows something about them, some need, into which He is able to speak and act through a complete stranger. But a stranger who knows the God who has given them that knowledge. It's amazing how if ever you're in a discussion or talking with someone who's a non-believer, as soon as you have a word like that, the whole nature of the conversation changes immediately. And you're no longer in a debate and discussion which is going to go nowhere, really, because it's just one person's opinion against another. Nearly everybody who comes to the Lord comes to Him at a time of need or through a point of need. Nearly everybody. because when people are in a situation of need, they suddenly realize that they need someone or something that is greater than them to get them through the need. And up pops Jesus, who is the answer, no matter what the need is. So these are wonderful opportunities, but if we're going to love people, they're not numbers, they're not scalps. So we can come back and say, oh, I led three, I had three conversations, I had this, that, and the other. I mean, better to spend the whole morning with one person than to talk to 25 and get nowhere with any of them. If that time with that one person is going to be used by God to really do something positive in their lives, something of eternal stature. So I'm not telling you things you don't know, I'm just reminding you, because you're going out always in love, you're living every day together in love. And what gladdens the heart of God more than anything else is the way that believers love one another. The only debt that we have, one of Pastor Clive's favorite quotes, the only outstanding debt is the debt of love. All the other debts were covered on the cross, and Jesus just left us with this one debt, to love others as he has loved us. So, you know, we rejoice that even when you're outside your comfort zone, God loves you. God is with you. He's saying, well, I'm walking with you in love. I can express my love through you. My concern, my compassion, my care for those that you're talking to. And even if they laugh, even if they ridicule you, even if they abuse you, even if they reject you, they have actually been touched by the reality of my love. And you can't do any more than that. If people choose to react negatively, that's not your responsibility. See, my responsibility when I'm speaking to you is to bring to you the word that God wants to speak through me. That's the end of my responsibility. He doesn't hold me responsible for how you respond. He doesn't hold me responsible for how anybody responds. All I'm responsible for is to do what he asked me to do, to say what he wants me to say. So that's all you have to do. Don't come back and say, oh, somebody else led three to the Lord today and I haven't led anybody to the Lord all week. You might have done more good than the one who thinks he's got three scalps. Because what you've been doing is sowing these seeds of love, of compassion, of care, of concern for the people that you've talked to. Amen. A lot of these so-called scalps on the street aren't people that really get born again anyway. They might make the first step towards that. So, you know, don't get too excited. Because often in the past we've followed up people like that and found that they only prayed a prayer or whatever to get rid of you rather than to really respond to the Lord. People do that. Say, well, what's the quickest way to get out of this? Okay, I'll pray this prayer and then I can go. So, you know, we need a bit of wisdom. Amen. Okay, so let's stand, shall we? And what we're going to do just for a few minutes is we're going to abide in his love. Rest in his love. That's what Jesus said in John 15, isn't he? You know, he said, remain in me and I in you. Live in me and I in you, abide in me and I in you. And then he said, abide in my love. And he said, you know, you do that by obeying his commands and so on. But right at this moment, let's just use the rest of faith and rest in his love. I just want you to be still, just to close your eyes. Focus on Jesus. In whatever way is best for you. And I'm just going to quote some scriptures. It says in the book of Malachi, which you read every night before you go to sleep, I love you, says the Lord. I love you. He doesn't love what you ought to be, what you should be, but he loves you as you are this morning. as he sees you in Christ, sees you able to walk with him, but he says, I love you. I love you. And he doesn't love you because it's his divine job to love you. He has called you. He has chosen you to be the child of his love. You are a love child. But you're God's love child. That can't be bad. So just abide in that love. And Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. One of the most amazing things Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Remain, rest, walk in my love. There is no fear in love. For perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. But God doesn't punish you. He loves you. Perfect love, his love, casts out all fear. So God isn't sending you out in mission to punish you. Not to punish you, but to express his love through you. These three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And we love because he first loved us. Remember, those of you who are here on Sunday were You're hearing Paul saying that when he looks at himself, it's like looking in a mirror and he sees that he's so far short of being compared with Jesus. When we look at ourselves, we see the poverty of our love. But his grace is sufficient for us, and it's his love that we share, not our love. So just pray now that his love will be expressed through you to whoever you speak, but ask for one person in particular who really needs a revelation of being loved. There's a whole lot of people out there that don't really think they're lovable. And whatever experiences they've had of human love have been pretty disastrous. And they become cold-hearted, hard-hearted, protective of themselves. And Lord, we pray this morning that your love will just break through all those protective layers. And you'll touch those cold hearts with the warmth of your love. Soften hard hearts, Lord, by showing how much you care. And wherever necessary, we ask, Lord, that you give us words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words that will go straight into the hearts of those for whom we're talking. We won't be talking at a head level today, but we'll only talk at heart level. And we dare to believe that the hearts of people are going to be touched by your love, by your life, by your power, if and when we pray for people. And we give you all the glory, Lord, for what you're going to do, all the glory for the way in which you're going to use us. Thank you, Lord, you're not sending us out for scalps, you're sending us out to love people. Thank you, all the needy people were in your congregation when you preached. All those that had been rejected by the religious leaders. But they were there in your audience because they knew you loved them. And your love was drawing them towards you. So, Lord, may we express today that love that will draw people, not to us, but to you. And we thank you, Lord. Just begin to thank him now and praise him for that love, that he holds you in that love.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.